This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And so these are some of the causes of weak iman. After that, we will conclude by mentioning the cure. And so what is the solution? What is the solution behind increasing our iman after it has become weak? First of all, there's one rule that I want you to remember. And that is that the more you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to you. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that the more you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that the more you fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more obedient you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah will give you of what? Of iman. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala across the board. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to mankind. There is nobody who comes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yet Allah betrays him. There is nobody who comes racing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing good deeds and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes the door in front of him. This is not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the more you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah will give to you. The more input, the more output. And so you find that people in the month of Ramadan, they get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their iman becomes stronger. Their iman increases. And you find them in Salat al-Taraweeh, for example, their hearts are soft and they cry listening to the imam recite. But it's not the same outside of Ramadan. What's the problem? The Quran is the same Quran. The imam is the same imam. The recitation is the same recitation. But what is the problem? Why is it that our hearts do not shake outside of Ramadan? And we are not affected the same way as we are inside of Ramadan. The answer is very simple. It is because, as I mentioned, the more you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah will give to you. And so in the month of Ramadan, we are giving more time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are fasting. We are reciting the Quran. We are praying various types of nawafil, salat al-taraweeh, qiyam al-layl. We are giving our zakah in the month of Ramadan. We are giving extra sadaqah, and we are racing to do good deeds. But after Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, our input is very little. And so the amount of time that we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside of Ramadan is much, much little. Is much, much less than it was during Ramadan. And so when we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our prayers are not answered. And then we ask why. Whenever we have a problem in our life, a certain calamity that befalls, we ask, what is the reason for that? And so imagine it like a tug of war. In a tug of war, you have two sides pulling at the same rope. Now, if one side has 23 people and the other side only has one person, who's going to win? Who's going to win? those who are on the side of the 23. And so our state in the month, outside of the month of Ramadan, is that we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe 1 hour out of 24 hours. We give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perhaps 1 hour, or maybe even less than 1 hour out of 24 hours. And so if you were to count, for example, the minutes that it takes to pray our salawatul khams, our 5 daily prayers, let's say they add up to 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Then we add a few other good deeds that we do during the day, and it comes to an hour. Let's say it even comes to 2 hours. And then we ask, what is the reason for our weak iman outside of the month of Ramadan? But when the time of Ramadan comes, we give more time. And so our hearts become softened and our iman increases. And so the cure to weak iman is very simple. It is based on the very meaning of iman increasing and decreasing. And so it is a fundamental belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that iman is something that goes up and it comes down. It increases and it decreases. And it is a fundamental belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that what increases iman is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what decreases iman is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is the underlying key to increasing our iman, by increasing our acts of obedience and staying away from acts of disobedience. But beyond that, we'll mention a few things that insha'Allah ta'ala will help us to cure our weak iman. The first step towards curing that weak iman in our hearts is by first and foremost turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in recognition of our state and the state of our iman. And so how are you going to cure whatever disease that you have if you don't even recognize it? And so the first and foremost step is by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and breaking down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase your iman. Many people say they want a cure for weak iman, and we tell them, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, no, give me something else. We say there is nothing more beneficial for you to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of humility, humbling yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your need, and your need in this case is an increase in iman. And what I mean by that is not just asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, increase my iman. This is not the meaning of dua. This is not the meaning of al-khushu', humbling yourself down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I mean is first and foremost recognizing the state of your iman and then turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of humility, breaking yourself down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and truly wanting to change yourself. Meaning that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with an honest heart, with a truthful heart, that, oh Allah, I am here before you, and I recognize this state in which I am in, distant from you, oh Allah, and I want to change myself. And that's why there are certain times and certain places when dua is more accepted. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that to make dua in sujood has a higher chance of being accepted. Why? Because as he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the servant is no closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than he is when he is in a sujood. And so make sujood and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your sujood. Now here's a question, why is it that this particular time and place has a higher chance of our dua being accepted? And why is it that we are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this state? What is the answer to that? Who knows? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closest to his servant when he is in a sujood? Yes, that is correct. The brother, he said, that when you're in sujood, you humble yourself down in humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by bringing your face and your head and putting it on the ground, and your face is the most honorable and dignified part of your body. This is something that all people agree on, that the face of a human being is the most honorable and dignified part of his body. And so when you come and put it down on the ground, you are humbling yourself and humbling this part of your body, which is the most honorable part of your body, and putting it down on the dirt or on the ground. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, he forbade that we hit somebody on the face. Why? Because it is the most honorable part of the body. And so this is the first way of treating our weak iman, by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humbling ourselves in a state of humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second way, or the second means of curing our weak iman, is by realizing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By realizing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is through His names and His attributes. And so somebody who truly knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody who truly recognizes who his Lord is, it is impossible for his iman to go down. The only reason why his iman will go down is because after having this knowledge of who Allah is, he becomes heedless of that knowledge. He forgets about it, and he becomes negligent of it. And so, one of the ways of curing our weak iman is by recognizing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The only way that we will develop a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is once we understand who Allah is through His names and His attributes. And the only way that we will truly venerate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving Him the due that He deserves, is once we have a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if you want to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the due that He deserves, if you want to venerate Him, consider Him as being great, the greatness that He subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is, then the only way that you can do that is after having developed a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. And the only way to do that is by getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names and His attributes. I'm just going to give one example of that. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran in Ayatul Kursi. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this great ayah, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned as being the greatest ayah in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that his kursi extends over the heavens and the earth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that as being the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kursi is basically the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it does not mean that we should imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resting his feet on a footstool. This is not what it means. Rather, we can never imagine Allah or his attributes. We simply accept that Allah has feet. We don't know how they look. We can never imagine them. And we accept that Allah has a footstool. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that this is the footstool, the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah explained it in the Quran as extending over the heavens and the earth. The heavens above us, the skies above us, with the stars, the galaxies, and everything that is in the universe above us. This great universe that is above us. The kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends over this great universe. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, giving us an example of this, he said that the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the arsh is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the relationship between the kursi and the throne, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is like a ring. You take a ring and you throw it into a vast piece of land, an empty, barren desert. And so the ring is like the kursi, and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like this humongous and vast desert. Now remember, what did we say about the kursi, the footstool? That it extends over the heavens and the earth. Now imagine that this is like a ring thrown in a desert, and now imagine that that desert is like the humongous, tremendous throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, is the greatest of Allah's creation. The throne is the greatest of Allah's creation. There is no other creation that Allah has created greater than his arsh. But this is only the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a created being, a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa. How about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has risen and settled above this throne? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who cannot be confined to limits or boundaries, like his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who there is no one greater than him subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we cannot even try to begin to imagine how great he is. So this is just one example of one of Allah's attributes, al-azamah, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if we were to study the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way, then there is no doubt that this is among the greatest means that will help us to cure that weak iman that is there in our hearts. Also, among the ways of curing our weak iman is by constantly reminding ourselves of death and what comes after death. And so the reason why our iman goes down many times is because we become heedless and negligent of this reality, the reality of death. And so we live our lives full of negligence, heedless, the dunya having distracted us, and you know, it having distracted us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from our duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the moment we remember death and remind ourselves of this reality that each and every single one of us will come to face, this is among the ways and means that will help us to cure that weak iman in our hearts. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, remember the destroyer of pleasures. Always remember it. Remember that thing that shall destroy all pleasures, and that is nothing other than death. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to visit the graveyards, because it reminds us of death and what shall come after death. And so a person who remembers that and always has that in the back of his head, then his iman, without a doubt, will always be high. And that is because he knows that at any moment, death could come to him. And so there won't be any opportunity to change his ways unless he changes it now. Also, among the ways and means of curing our weak iman is by remembering and realizing the ill effects of sins. And so evil deeds and sins, they have a huge effect on our iman. But if you don't realize this, then your iman will go down and continue to go down. It'll continue to go down. And there won't be any way of bringing it back up. But once you remember the evil effects of sins, no matter how small they may be, then this will help you to protect your iman and keep it on a high. And that is like the companions, they used to say, that small deeds, or rather small sins, small evil deeds, are like small pebbles, that if you were to throw them into a pile, then they become a hill. Continue to throw these small pebbles, and they become like a mountain. And so you may look at certain sins as being small and insignificant, but if they become a part of your daily habit, then they start to accumulate. They start to add up until they become like that huge mountain that becomes difficult to climb. Also, among the ways and means to cure our weak iman is by competing with one another to do good deeds. By competing with one another and racing to do good deeds. Because as I mentioned, the key to increasing our iman is acts of obedience. And so, if we want our iman to go up, we need to race one another. And the month of Ramadan is a chance to race with one another in the doing of good deeds. And so the real competition in the month of Ramadan is what? Is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرُضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرُضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, compete with one another. For what? For goals in this dunya? To have the most wealth? To have the most of the matters of the dunya? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, compete with one another towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards a jannah, a paradise whose width and extent is like the heavens and the earth. And so these are some of the ways that will help us to cure our weak iman. And without a doubt, that this weak, that this iman, if it was to become strong in our hearts, it would become a guard and a shield, preventing us from falling into sin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us strong iman in our hearts. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.